What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Hey, Matt.
We are back in Newport, but it's not just us who are back at Newport Beach this week.
Who else is back?
Caitlin Cooper's back as well. This is going to be an interesting episode to talk about, Joe, for a couple reasons. For starters, it's not a particularly good episode. But secondly, all of my notes erased themselves.
No.
Yeah, and I was like, well, you know what I'm not going to do is rewatch this episode to rewrite those notes. So I was just kind of going off the dome this week.
Oh, my God.
Now, I think we're okay in the sense of there is, like, we've had episodes where there are, like, four storylines happening at once.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically just the Coopers. Like, all of the storylines are focused on the Coopers almost exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing being that Caitlin is back. I would say that the big hits are Caitlin is back, Johnny tells Marissa the truth that he's not going on this surfing thing, and Caitlin's a hussy for Johnny. She's going to Lolita Johnny. Now, is this...
Hold on. You've used, like, two of the most, like erudite and arcane words to describe... A young woman asserting her sexual agency. Like, I've never, I can't remember the last time I heard someone call another person a hussy. That wasn't, like, you know, in Les Mis.
Yeah.
So I love that, by the way, because it's also it's not misogynistic in the way, because the tone is so, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, she's such a hussy. And I'm like, no, I think she would also agree she's a fucking hussy too.
What I want to ask you, Joe, because I didn't feel like researching this because I don't know. I feel like anything that I Google with the OC just accidentally gives me spoilers.
Okay.
This isn't the same actress that played Caitlin in, like, two random episodes in the beginning,
right? No.
This is a full-blown recap.
Yeah, this is Willa... Oh, my God. I looked up her name when I watched it. This actress... The original actress that played Caitlin was Shailene Woodley, who, you know, famously of Secret Life of the American Teenager fame.
Yeah.
Who is the... The other thing is, like, Shailene Woodley is, like, the actual age that Caitlin should be. And then this girl, Willa whatever, is, like, the stepdaughter of Brian De Palma. And, you know, is present, like, it's just so interesting because, like, even in the show, they are making her out to be, like, they're making her out to be, like, a generation younger than the people in the show.
Yeah, which is weird because, like, both times that her age was stated is 14, I was like, no, it's not. Like I'm physically looking at this person. No, they're not.
No.
They're not, like, that's not, like,
14-year-olds aren't built that way.
No, like, you could have told me 16. I would have been like, okay, yeah, sure. I buy that. There's no world that this actress is 14 in any believable way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's very, and even in her actions aren't that of, I work with 14-year-olds. They aren't this conniving and quick on their feet. The way that she just pulls a fake abortion story out of the ether when questioned about the money, that is not the way a 14-year-old's mind operates. So I was just kind of very, like...
But again, privilege, and she's also, like, at boarding school. You know, like, that's the thing, is that, like, the boarding school of it all elevates it to, like, oh, so no wonder, you know, and it's also, like, every time someone learns a new detail from the guy, she has an answer.
Yeah. That's, like, the bulk of it, so I think we're gonna table Caitlin just for a little bit and come back, because... Mm-hmm. Well, we must call out the fact that if we think that Justin might be in the wrong, but he was lied to about her age, or that even Johnny doesn't necessarily know how old she is, Seth Cohen does, and his comments are freaky and inappropriate throughout the whole first half of this episode. Seth Cohen, just going to keep track of this, is still a huge creep.
Yeah.
So the other, like, subplot that we have here is this love triangle between Summer's dad, Julie Cooper, and Taylor Townsend's mom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is all kind of dumb. It's so, like, swept under the rug so quickly in the episode. Like, it's very much like a sitcom storyline, right? No. Like, you have to go on the date with this girl, but we're going to make sure that nothing serious happens. Uh-oh, he might have feelings for this forced relationship. Uh-oh, but the girl that he should be with is upset. And let's quickly wrap this up so we can return to the status quo before commercial break. Like, it's so quickly rushed together. But I will say this. I'm friends with people who love the OC.
Mm-hmm.
And
we love you, too.
I've complained about this a couple times. Yeah. I've heard some complaints, and I've said this before on the show, and I'll say it again. Like, I don't think Taylor Townsend is nearly as bad as everyone makes her out to be. She's annoying as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the first couple episodes was rough, but, like, I don't know. I think that there's something, like, weirdly sweet about how dumb she is. Like, she's very smart but very dumb at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way that she just, like, jumps immediately into, like, Summer and I are going to be sisters now because her mom went on a single date with Summer's dad. Like, I don't know, I'm charmed by the, like, less dangerous Tracy Flick of it all.
I don't know if she's less dangerous. And yeah, the whole, like, at the very end, it's just so, like, it's just so pathetic.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be gentle, and even though I use the word pathetic.
But I think she's supposed to be pathetic. I don't think you're supposed to look at her and go, what a cool kid.
Exactly.
But, like, I think I empathize for, like, she's just, like, a lonely kid with no friends. And it actually makes me more frustrated with the core four that it's, like, you don't have to be besties with this person, but she's clearly done you now a handful of favors that she didn't have to do because she's so desperate to be part of your group. Like, you could let her hang once in a while.
Yeah.
You don't have to have her at every single time that you guys go to get breakfast, but, like, once a week, be like, hey, we should see if Taylor wants to join us, just to keep her from, you know, finding a strong rope in a ceiling fan. Cause, like, this girl's not doing great with her family life. Her mom's awful. Dad's out of the picture. Like, she needs the Ryan Atwood treatment. She needs the good, gentle giant that can, like, calm her down the way that Ryan has with all these other spoiled, prissy Newport kids. So I don't know, man. I don't have a problem with her. I was the only thing that I found even a remote bit of joy in this episode was her like giddiness about like her and Summer not being friend sisters but actual sisters. It's like so pathetic. It's kind of cute to me. I mean, that's really the only like subplot in this episode. The rest is really just the Caitlin, Marissa, Johnny of it all. I do appreciate that Ryan finally called out what I've been saying forever and referring to Chili as Bizarro Seth.
Yeah.
Because that's like what he is. Yeah. Like, it's just another Seth Cohen. But like, probably a better, more loyal friend than Seth Cohen, actually. Like, I would rather be friends with Chili than Seth Cohen, I think. Mm-hmm. How about you, Joe? You had a Seth Cohen crush in your past, but now watching this as an adult, like, you can only choose one.
No, I mean, watching this as an adult, I'm more Ryan than anything. I knew guys like Chili, so
yeah.
Like, I didn't really know any guys like Seth. I think I was the guy like Seth. I did know one friend. I have one friend who, like, you know how like you have that one friend who is like such a curmudgeon and like is your age but is so discontented with the world, and yep. You find it kind of hot because it's like, yeah,
you lost me, but yeah. Sure.
But like, and so like for me it was like, well, you find this guy kind of hot, but that being said, the guys that I knew that were like Chili, like I can't fathom that, like Chili as a Chili as an aesthetic, yes. Chili in practice as a character, no.
See, I don't know, I think I'm still team Chili. I think I want that ride or die, will do anything for his friends person over the person who makes everything back to being about them every step of the way, which is mm-hmm. the Seth Cohen way of life. I think I'd be way more frustrated sooner. So I feel like I already see we're basically at the halfway point of this season now, right? We're finishing episode 12. I think there's 25 episodes for the entire season, so we're like right smack in the midpoint of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm getting somewhat of a picture of like, okay, I don't think Caitlin's just here for an episode or two. I feel like she's at least making it pretty far in this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's going to be something, obviously, like, while Marissa doesn't have feelings for Johnny, I don't think she's going to appreciate Johnny dating her 14-year-old sister, which is what it seems like it's leading to. So I can see where that starts to... Which, like, the irony is all of this happened because Marissa can't stand for someone to not want to be friends with her anymore. She just was, like, content with, like, yeah, friendships ebb and flow, and, like, you're not going to the same school as Johnny, so this friendship is naturally going to kind of just, like, fizzle out, and you're leaving for college in a year anyway, like, just move on. He would have never met her sister, and whatever happens in the future wouldn't have occurred at mm-hmm. all, but whatever, that is what that is. But
it's,
I mean, I see what's happening. It's like, okay, this is going to be one of our big storylines for mm-hmm. at least 4 or 5 episodes, is Johnny dates Caitlin, or Caitlin just makes it very uncomfortable for Johnny. I'm not sure which one, but obviously our next mini story, our mini season arc, is going to be the Caitlin Johnny drama.
So three things, right?
Okay.
So three things. First, I've definitely had to look up the synopsis of the rest of the season because I was like, okay, I didn't think Caitlin came in this early, because it's what, we're halfway through, right? This is like mid.
Yeah, we're on episode 12 of 25 episodes.
Yeah, so we're about halfway through. And I was like, okay, Caitlin's here. And then like Jackson Rathbone as Justin shows up, right? And I'm like, what? I was like, how did I miss fucking, like, you know, how do I fucking miss Jasper Hale from the Twilight series and other, you know, shitty teen dramas at the time. And so I was like, okay. And it reminded me that, like, oh, there's things coming up for the rest of the season that, like, I absolutely, we've reached the threshold now where from now until the end of the season, I absolutely loathe most of these episodes because it doesn't get, it doesn't get any better for anybody.
Good to know.
Like, the only person who is like, the only person who is a good person the entire fucking rest of the stuff is, like, at least as far as the Coens are concerned, is Kirsten. But that's because we've already put Kirsten through so much. Kirsten was like, you know, we've already put that poor woman through so much that, like, now all of the men in her life are doing shitty things. And of course, we put that labor on women. So
wait, so Sandy's gonna start doing shitty stuff too. He's my one golden goose of a person on this show.
That's not a spoiler. It's not a spoiler for me to tell you that Sandy, you won't really recognize who Sandy is, but there is a return at the end of the season. It's just what is happening in the next, like, the half of the season is just like, what the fuck? I fucking hate that. Like, why? We didn't need this. No one asked for this.
So it's yet another, what I've complained about a million times with the OC is the writers just saying, fuck what we've made this character out to be for the last 2 or 3 years. The story calls for them to be like this now. So we're just gonna completely, man, this season 3 is just like the season of deaning every character in the OC, isn't it? They're all just like, all right. Yeah, we just got to shift them to whatever makes the most sense, I guess. So I don't have any other major notes here. So let me land on this, actually.
And we're done, y'all.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include 7 best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs 2 of our hosts that have seen a show with 2 of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Am I/should I believe why Caitlin took the money at the final thing that we hear? That she heard already that her mom was in a trailer park and stole the money hoping to help out the family in some way?
I believe that to be sincere.
Okay.
Again, it's one.
Because when you've heard four different versions of the story at a certain point, I'm like, well, this is a convenient. Like, you've spent 40 minutes making us want to hate this character. Mm-hmm. And now you're giving us this, like, sad sap convenient story out of nowhere. It's just like, all right, am I supposed to buy this or not? And then we jump to this ending where she's, like, kind of, like, just, I don't want to say entrapping, because, like,
But not
Johnny
not
can do whatever the hell he wants, but but yeah, like Johnny's other option is just to drive away and leave a 14-year-old girl alone in the water. But like, yeah, like it's like, okay, so there is a conniving part. Like, it's just, I feel like Caitlin is going to be a character that's just continuously frustrating for 13 episodes or maybe more. Who knows? I don't know. Caitlin could be here for 5 episodes, she could be here for just season 3, or she could be here till the bitter end. I have no real clue at this point, because I'm really trying not to even look up actors who seem slightly familiar looking to me, because I'm afraid I've had too many storylines where I'm like, oh, I know this character's gone in 5 episodes or whatever. So like, I guess it's just full steam ahead, Joe, from here on out. If you're wondering the Matt Kelly rating, This was a solid 1 star. This was a bad, bad episode. Lowest star rating since I started the star rating like 5 or 6 episodes ago. Where did that 1 star come from, you might ask? Because the soundtrack, not so bad this episode, baby. We get a couple good songs, in my opinion. We started off with Black Rebel. Motorcycle Club is back again with their song Shuffle Your Feet. This plays a couple times throughout the show, but most prominently in the beginning and the end of the episode. When Ryan confronts Justin, Gold Spot's Time Bomb is playing. When Ryan confronts Caitlin, Under Oath, A Boy Brushed Red Living in Black and White was playing. When they're all hanging out in the cafe trying to figure out what's going to happen with Taylor, the Funky Low Lives Sail Into the Sun plays. And then lastly, when Ryan gives the money to Justin, the Rakes Retreat plays. So, Joe, I immediately knew what my song of the week was going to be when I heard it. But what about you?
Oddly enough, it's more for the nostalgia of the time period, but it's A Boy Brush Red.
All right.
And the reason why is because my sister in high school / when I was like in college for a minute went through like a screamo phase. Like, the guy that she was dating at the time was like into screamo, and it was just very like, it was one of the moments where I started to see her, and I guess it's kind of related to the episode, I started to see her as not like, oh, you're not just like my little sister.
She's not a girl, but not yet.
She's not a girl. That was the gayest shit. Don't say that. Don't fucking say that shit to me unless you suck cock. unless you're all about the stick, Matt.
Joe, I picked the exact same song. I picked the exact same song.
Good, because
when like, I heard Under Oath,
yeah,
I was like, holy shit, Under Oath was on the OC soundtrack at some point. And yeah, Under Oath, I mean, I grew up as Under Oath as like the hardest of hardest Christian metal. Mm-hmm. And so like that really caught me off guard. And also I feel like there's not a lot of screamo in the OC. So that song stands out like a sore thumb when it shows up.
It's so like, I was like, and it's also like, I just remember thinking like, huh, I wonder if this is Under Oath.
Yeah.
And then when you said, because I don't look up the music, just because I just try to go off of, you know, if I know it, if it's recognizable, I try not to look anything in. That's the one thing that I like, I go into blind, so I wait for these episodes. And then when you said it was A Boy Brush Red, I'm like, oh, that's like literally the album, right? Like, this is like when my sister loved like Under Oath, Anne Berlin, like, you know, I don't think she was ever a Boys Like Girls or Reliant K fan, but like,
she's missing out. Well, Joe, we have one more thing left to do. As we said before, when the OC was at its peak, it was a cultural phenomenon. So here's the point of the show where we talk about something pop culture, past, present, or possibly future, who knows, that we are excited about or really enjoyed. Mayan, I don't know if I enjoyed or not, but I started watching Survivor about a year ago, and I decided that since every single season of Survivor is on Paramount Plus, I was going to start watching it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I did watch the first season of Survivor.
And
it is very interesting to go from season 45 to season one and see like how much has changed with the way the game works. Like season one of Survivor is kind of fascinating. I can understand why it was such a cultural phenomenon, because you literally are just like dropping a bunch of people in the middle of nowhere and wishing them the best of luck for like a month and a half. I actually watched the first two seasons. Season two, a dude fucking passes out into a fire and has to be like airlifted to a hospital for third degree burns. So like, it's insane how real the first couple seasons of Survivor are and how like dangerous the circumstances actually are. But what it also is interesting to go back on is to see when certain words were just perfectly fine to have on primetime television. And, you know, the winner of the first season of Survivor, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't watched it, is a gay man. And the amount of Fs that fly freely throughout that season while discussing him is something. It's something. Not going to say if it's good or bad, but it's certainly something. But, you know, I'm excited for the other 40 seasons of this journey that I have to comb through. So just wanted to mention that I'm doing that to myself. But, yeah, I mean, I think that the first season of Survivor is truly one of the top, like, I think in in our lifetime, one of the biggest, like, television pop culture events, like it's like that Lost, like like Breaking Bad, like it's this. I'd say if you were looking at like the 10 biggest first seasons of television in our lifetime, Survivor's in that conversation for sure.
I agree.
How about you, Joe?
Well, I mean, as of recording this, what can I say other than Beyonce is going country. Beyonce is going country. She has really, at the Super Bowl, she famously dropped a, like, which her Super Bowl commercial was amazing. Like, the fact that they got Beyonce to do that, I was like, dang, everything in that commercial was really Beyonce and Tony Hale, which was like, I did not know I needed that. That was, that's very, like, you know, that's very Queen Latifah and Jimmy Fallon doing a movie together. But the Texas Hold'em. So first of all, Act Two is coming out, which, like, Renaissance, the last album, the last big tour, the movie was all Act One. And I remember when Break My Soul was released, that it was like Act One was like on the lower right hand corner of all of the, like, the YouTube and like, you know, the Instagram posts and stuff. And then there were people who were like, oh my gosh, y'all, I think this is the first of three successive albums that she's planned out.
And you talked about this a little bit about last week, I think, about how, like, you know, it's a, you're, the assumption is this is going to be like a three-part series of how much black music has inspired popular music. Right?
Yes.
Like, we're going to get, like, hopefully Act Three is a rock album from Beyonce.
Yes, but, like, again, I am just so obsessed with this music right now and, like, the discourse that's happening in it. Like, that's why I'm bringing it up again, because, like, it's really starting to break the brain of people that, one, black people live, black people can and do like country music. And just like extrapolating what this is going to mean, because in the time that, like, I last talked about it and now, she is now the first black female artist to have a number one single debut on the country Billboard chart.
That's crazy.
Which is like is wild, because like there are many there's at least one that I can think of, like, modern black country artist. And it's just so wild to think that, like, oh shit, like, Beyonce's doing it. And what does that mean? Does that mean, like, and also, like, what are the touring, what are the, because we know that most of the money is made in touring now, and what does that mean?
Yeah,
for
what
her?
Does that tour look like? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that tour look like?
I didn't even think of that question. Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, what does that tour look like? Is it going to be a tour, or is it like, you know, I mean, the biggest gag would be like, is it a fucking residency at like the Grand Ole Opry, right? The Grand Ole Opry for like 3 months, and she goes there and she just takes it. You know, she just goes there and just takes it all from them. So I'm still obsessed with it. It's something that we're talking a lot about at work, and I just can't wait to like be in a fucking club and hear it come down, and then everybody just starts line dancing. Like that's what I'm like looking. It's the same thing I felt when in 2020 Lady Gaga releases Chromatica and Rain on Me with Ariana Grande came out, and it's like I just want to go to a gay bar and dance to this music. Just like, yeah. And I've been gay line dancing, and this is like perfect for that.
Perfect. I wish that for you, sir. I wish for you to experience the gay line dancing to Beyonce.
You hope I gay line dance?
I hope you gay line dance. And I think that would definitively not be white people problems, but the people watching the gay line dance happen would be in their own personal white people problem. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, could you imagine, Joe? Could you imagine the folks of Newport Beach if a black woman's country song started playing as a bunch of gay men line danced? They would be beside themselves. And maybe that happens next week.
I'm going to put it out there for our internet listeners, right? If anybody is so inclined, please do a like YouTube supercut of all the white people fighting, but in the background is Texas Hold'em by Beyonce. So if anybody wants to do that, like my birthday's in April, you're welcome to. You're welcome to send that to me, but like please, I need to see like Ryan throwing punches and, you know, people actually driving a Lexus when the word Lexus comes up. That's what I need.
All right. You've gotten homework this week. We'll be back next week to see how you did.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie.
And we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.